Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college. And I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in. And so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it. And it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200. And it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. so you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005. And my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, we have a problem. She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I've signed and I've stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So
like
you could
it.
Just see 600,000
deducted. So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out to Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming. Sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then...
Okay. All right. This morning, let me repeat it again. The televised live stream today is 781 Planning. Based on Habakkuk 2:2, make right division and make it plain. Then also mentioned wash, rinse, repeat times 100. So we're going to take this business plan and then multiply it. But there are three fundamental questions that I'm putting out here. Maybe you guys want to add more to it, but here are the three. In order for us to properly plan, all right, here are the three questions. Question number one, all right. If you had 100 orders for tiny houses, because that's what we'll be building. If you had 100 orders for tiny houses, how many operators would you need to take and process those 100 orders, including processing the deposit? That's question number one. We have to have a plan for that. Okay. Question number two, materials and construction team. How many materials and construction teams would you need so you can gather the materials that are needed for those 100 orders? Okay. Because you can't take some of these tiny house companies or a lot of businesses, you know, they're the order taker, then they now use it could be the order taker at the cash register, then they go behind the grill and make the sandwich or the meal, and then they come out and serve it to you. That's one person doing at least three jobs. I'm not even including them, making sure you got enough inventory to cook. So you're going to need a materials team as well as a construction team needed. And then question three, how many assembly teams are needed to assign for delivery and assemble what these people have ordered and paid for within 8 to 120-hour time frame? Those are three questions that we need to tackle when we're coming up with 781 Habakkuk 2:2. Because if we did a Facebook Marketplace, or we did a YouTube video, or whatever, and 100 orders came in for whatever product that we're selling. In this case, let's say tiny houses. It could be pet houses. But question number one again, how many operators would you need? And let me give an example of this. A couple of summers ago, a company, Tough Shed, they took in 10,000 orders in 1 month for their sheds. 10,000, so they took in 10,000 plus orders and delivered on all 10,000 of them. So Let's just shrink this down. And everything starts with one. So let me rephrase this question, these three questions. And I'm going from 100 orders to one. And then we'll get into the 781. Okay. Question number one, if you had one order for a tiny house, how many phone operators would you need to take that order, process the order, including processing the deposit? The deposit could be $500, $1,000, something like that. Question number two, your materials and construction team. How many teams would you need to gather the materials and, you know, prefab the parts for the prefab team? And I need to put that in there. Question number three is how many assembly teams are needed? How many assembly teams needed to assign for delivery and assembly within an 8 to 20 hour time frame? Those are the three basic questions. Now I'm gonna repeat Steve Harvey. Well, I'm gonna do a different Steve Harvey. Well, you know what? Yeah, let me do another Steve Harvey. Then we'll be right back so we can tackle these three questions using that 781 formula.
So when people try to figure out how to make $1 million, they have no idea how daunting that is. Because if you know how to make $1 million, you're going to make it tomorrow. But since you can't figure out how to $1 million idea, you go somewhere and sit down. That's the wrong approach. If you apply your gift, your God-given gift that he gave you, you have millions already at your disposal. If you break it down inch by inch into things and cents for the 10 by 10 theory, which is very simple. You don't need $1 million idea. You need a $10 idea. You need something that you do, your gift that God gave you, to make $10. That's all you got to be able to know. I don't care if it's cutting hair, cutting somebody's grass, washing somebody's car. I don't care if it's mowing somebody's lawn. I don't care if it's driving people to their destinations. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's baking cookies or pie. You have some braiding somebody's hair. You have something that you can do so well that someone will give you $10 for it. Write my paper for me. Do this for me. Somebody give you $10 for it. Once they give you $10, all you got to do is whatever you did to get that 10, do it 10 more times. You now, my friend, have $100. You have $100 simply because you took a $10 idea and you did it 10 times. Well, guess what? If you take that $100 that you made since you've done it 10 times and you do it 10 more times, I got news for you, my friend. You now have $1,000. $1,000, you make $1,000, guess what all you got to do? You got to multiply that effort again. Do whatever you did to do $1,000, do it 10 more times. My friend, you now have $10,000. You got $10,000 now. Imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. Just imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 a year. But I got news for you, my friend. Whatever you did, whatever it took to make yourself $10,000, all you got to do is do it 10 more times. 10 more times, my friend. You now have $100,000. I got news for you now. If you can make $100,000, you're just a step away from being a millionaire, man. Because now you hire a few more people to help you out that you can do portions of what you do so you can duplicate that effort. And one more time, just one more time, do it 10 times. Man, that sounds hard. It is hard. But what else you got to do? What, you going to stop at the 100,000? All you got to do is duplicate your efforts by 10. You duplicate your efforts by 10, 10 times 100,000. Welcome to the club, my friends. You are now a millionaire. Congratulations. You became a millionaire with a $10 idea. So stop trying to, stop bogging yourself down trying to figure out how to make a million. Do what you can do to make $10. And then do the 10 by 10 theory. Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Now here's the joyful part. Along the way, when you was down here making $20,000, but you did right here, and now all of a sudden you're making $30,000. Now you're making $100,000. But on the way to duplicating that times 10, you may stop along in here at $250,000. You can make it $250,000 a year. That's way better than that $20,000 you had when you started. So there's joy in the process. Your life is actually a lot richer at $250,000. It'll become even more richer at $500,000. It becomes even richer than that at $750,000, $750,000. If you don't get to the million, man, you're going to trip because you're making $900,000 a year? No, you're going to be happy. What, you don't make the million, so you only make $700,000 a year? You can't find happiness in $7,000? Something wrong with you, man. There's joy in the process. That's how you make $1,000,000.
Okay. All right. So let's go back and let's repeat these three questions today so we can plan. And, of course, I'm thinking out loud. I don't see the whole thing. So any ideas that people come up with, great. All right, today we're talking about 781 planning for 2024. This is our, fourth day. All right, so based on Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain. And we want to include in our planning a business model of wash, rinse, and repeat 100 times. Now, so here are the three questions of the day. I'm going to read them. Long range as well as short range. Here's the long range first. Three questions. If you had 100 orders for tiny houses, how many operators would you need to take and process the orders, including processing the deposit payments? That's question number one. Question number two. How many material and prefab teams would you need to assemble the materials for the tiny house? Question number three, how many assembly teams are needed to assign for delivery and assembly within 8 to 120 hour time frame? Now let me go through these three questions again, but I'm going to lower the numbers based on 781. 781 stands for seven people. That's your social capital to help you build it, to eliminate your labor costs. Seven people in 8 hours equals one tiny house built. All right? So let me repeat those. Let me repeat these three same questions using 781. If you had one order for a tiny house, how many phone operators would you need to take and process that order, including the processing the deposit? Because we're going to need $500 to $1,000 deposit. You need working capital to get these things built. Question number two. How many people are you going to need on your material teams and prefab teams? In other words, how many people do you need to go pick up the materials for one house? How many people do you need on the prefab team to actually make the parts? You got to make the floor, they got to make the walls, they got to make the roof. Okay. So that's two teams in that, in question number two. Question number three. How many assembly teams are needed to assign for delivery of the one tiny house and then assemble the tiny house within the 8 to 20 hour period time frame? Now, 8 hours, we all know what that is, 9 to 5. But 120 hours is 5 days. Because we're not dealing with a short or a hamburger here. We're dealing with a tiny house. Okay, so let me repeat. And then after we answer those three questions, and once again, I'm just thinking out loud. If you have anything else, you add it into this because this is all what we're doing. We're planning. We're brainstorming here. Then we can write it out based on Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain. So it'll be simple. So once again, those are the three questions I think that need to be answered. There might be more, but those are three that I thought of. And actually, I didn't even think of originally. I saw it on something I was going through when we were doing the, you know, getting ready for today's podcast. But in planning, there are three questions once again. And there's a long range and a short range. And actually, I got this from DoorDash. Okay. So I changed it. Said instead of having DoorDash, you know, this system, I said, all right, let me apply it to what we do. So once again, the long range goal, if we had 100 orders for tiny houses, how many phone operators would we need to take and process the orders, including processing the deposit payments? All right, question one. Question two, how many material teams would we need to gather up the materials to build 100 houses, tiny houses? And how many prefab teams would we need to actually manufacture the parts? All right. Question number three, how many assembly teams will we need to assign for delivery of those 100 houses? And how many assembly teams would we need in place to assemble those houses, all within an 8-hour to 120-hour time frame? So 8 hours, 120 hours is 5 days. Now, that's the long range. Now, I'm going to read it one more time based on our 781 formula. Once again, the 781 formula is 7 people, 8 hours, 1 tiny house. Question number one again, if you had just one order for a tiny house, how many operators would you need to take and process that one order, including processing the deposit? All right. And we got these divisions here because you really can't make pizza. You can't make pizza and sell it too. That's why I think a lot of people get caught up. You can't take the order, then process the order, and then, you know, inventory, and it's too much, all right? And when people spend their money, they particularly in today's world, they want that product delivered as soon as possible. So question two is materials needed, materials team, prefab team, do you need for one house? And then the last question is, how many assembly teams are needed to assign for delivery and assembly within an 8 to 120-hour period? I'll take the first shot at this, then I'll open it up to you guys. Question number one, if we're just dealing with one house, not 100, if you had one order for a tiny house, how many operators would you need? I would say one. If you have one person on the phone, that person, of course, trained, can take the order, and they can also process the order. All right, and you get instructions on how these people are supposed to pay the deposit and what have you. For one order, less than 10 orders, you just need one, in my belief. One person to handle it. Question number. Now, let me back up here. If you're like when we did our radio programs out of Jacksonville, within that hour, I would say we needed to be honest about it. Because we got, I would say we needed about two, no less than two, probably ideally three phone operators. Because when people were calling to make a reservation, all right, you don't want to make them wait. And then the way our phone system was set up then, you know, some people called on top, and we know it worked out, but we would receive, I think, anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to maybe 14, 15, 16 calls in that hour. All right. And we just had one person, and the calls were all on top of each other. And sometimes in that setting, well, ideally, when we do that avenue again of live radio, or probably even Facebook or YouTube, you're going in, I'd say two or three operators while you're doing the live broadcast or the live stream to take the orders. Okay, that's just me thinking out loud. But anyway, for all practical purposes, let's just say one for right now. For the materials team and the prefab team, the materials team, I think you're going to need about, for one tiny house, two people, maybe three out of your seven. Okay. Or max out of your seven, four people for that. Now, for your prefab, you know, making the floor, the walls, the roofs, and all that type of thing, I'm saying you need all seven. You need all seven. And then, because they're the ones who's actually going to build the parts. And then number three, how many assembly teams needed to assign for delivery and to assemble the project? Depending on how big it is, you know what? You might have all seven again. You know, they pack it up, they deliver it, and then once you get to the location, you can assemble it, let's say, within an hour. All right, so that's just me thinking out loud, because once we come up with that number or those numbers, and we're going to start off with one, we're not going to start off with 100, but we're going to start off with one using that 781 strategy, and then write it up with simplified for Rebecca 2-2, and then I know for me, I'm going to be reading that thing at least twice a day. And if I can figure out a way, because on my phone, I use my phone as a vision board. Delmar, anything you want to comment on with suggestions or ideas?
Yes, sir. I think it's a little simpler than you may. Remember that this is a special area of function. That's not something anybody can do.
Right.
The analysis part is totally different from the construction and all those stuff. So those questions have to be answered, but I don't think they are complex because once you get W, you start multiplying. So it's not a matter. Once you figure out the cost and all the time on one, just like Steve Harvey said, you start multiplying how you increase that turnout is 10 or 20. You're doing the same thing. You're just multiplying your productivity time. So the answer will come with first, get the first answer. How much, everything you ask, is a figure you got to arrive for the first house. And once you get those things correct and exact, then we start calculating and getting the same thing multiplied, which, by the way, I teach that's God's law of seed and multiplication.
Right.
Everything multiplied by its own seed, you produce the same thing. So if you add the inches, you can turn into pounds. at the same time, you got to do some conversion or something. So my answer is, once we calculate the first initial cost of everything down to the hour, manpower, all those things, then, like Steve said, we start to multiply by some figure that, you know, we decide to use to get the results we want. And another thing that's important to keep in mind, the customer's not going to demand something that we don't promise to commit. If we say 90 days, he's going to expect you to fulfill it. But if he wants a two-week thing, we don't do 2 weeks. We can't satisfy a two-week requirement when it takes us 90 days. So we got something on the say. We just need, once we decide how much it costs, how much time involved, then we let him know here's our time window. You know, getting back what you said about if you call Uber or Lyft or DoorDash, they know some type of time frame. They're not going to tell you we're going to be here in 5 minutes when you know it takes 4 to 5. They're not going to agree to that.
Right.
So we at this point, we're going to decide the numbers and then use the other numbers to conclude, to answer all three questions based upon what's our first answer. What's the first cost? What's the first everything? That's my thought on that.
Okay, well, what we do have is 781. Seven people, because 7 people, 8 hours equal one tiny house. So
we don't have any cost in there. We don't have any cost in that seven. There's some money, there's some cost figures got to go into that seven. How much productivity of this seven person? What
right,
doing?
And in order to come up with that number, we're going to have to come up with, and that can be done over this weekend. In other words, for whatever we're building, I would say, and I'm just thinking out loud, my definition of a tiny house, because there's no hard and fast rule on what a tiny house is it varies from person to person. My definition of a tiny house is a structure that's 399 square feet or less. Some people look at 500 square feet as tiny house, but I look at that as small. So basically, I can find out the cost.
You got to come with a model you can duplicate it.
Right.
Bridges don't change. If you want 12, and you want 24, you know that's twice 12.
Oh. Wait a minute, Delmar. Well, hold on, Delmar. I got somebody calling. Hold on.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008.
All right, Chris, you there?
Because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died. And a girl that works for him called my lawyer and said,
okay, let's see. Get straight on his phone line. All right, Delmar, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, hold it. Delmar, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. We got Chris Collins. We got Delmar. All right, Chris, let me catch you up here. We're doing planning for this year, and we came up with a strategy called 781, and I'll explain what that is. We figure if you get 7 people for social capital, 7 helpers, okay, and within an 8-hour period of time, you know, you'll have the end product is one tiny house. Okay, that's what we call it, 781. So I asked, because we want to plan for this year. So I asked 3 questions, and one was based on 100 orders, and one was based on one of them. Matter of fact, I'm going to keep it simple. All right, how many operators would we need for tiny houses to take and process the order, including the deposit. That's question one. Question two is, how many people would we need on the materials team, the prefab team, to actually make the tiny house? And then question number three is, you know, how many teams will we need for assembly and delivery within 8 to 100? Now, we had one question that had 100 tiny homes, but we're simplifying this to 7, 8, 1. Seven people get together and build one tiny house within 8 hours, and then, you know, so we shrunk it down to that. Now, you've got more experience than I do. What's your thoughts on coming up with a simplified plan on order, from the order to the people that the team, the number of people that you need on the team to the delivery of the product within, I'd say, anywhere from, I'm thinking in terms of, what do you call it, Amazon, anywhere within, you know, Amazon, if you call Amazon on a lot of products today, you might get it tomorrow. Of course, on bigger ticket items, it might take a week, but they tell you up front all that. So, Chris, your thoughts on from order to delivery?
From order to delivery, I've got a factory right there in Orlando. So if we were delivering out of there, of course, you could have it, I would say, within a few days, because more than likely they would have they could make your order for you. Now, it depends also on how big of an order that you make. If you ordered material through my company, everything would be cut for you. So your windows, doors, everything, all them links would already be made. You don't have to use a saw to cut them up at the site. And you basically put an ABC 1-2-3 building together. And everything goes together with a half-inch screw. So anytime you're working with people that necessarily don't know what they're doing, they all know how to use a screw gun, but they don't necessarily know how to beat a nail.
Right.
And you don't have to use 3-inch screws, because them are hard too when you're framing wood. So you're using a half-inch screw and you're putting things together. For example, I took a 100-square-foot house, took it to Chicago in October. I met up with three people I'd never met before, bought a trailer that I hadn't seen, went and cut all the material that I brought up there to meet the trailer, but that's because it was something else already. It was already a house that I built 4 years ago with two kids in 2.5 hours. So I took it up to Chicago, and in 2 hours, these three men that had never touched it before in their life, they had built the entire frame and stood it up and had it under trusses in 15 minutes.
Okay. And how many people you say that was?
Three.
Three people, okay. All right, well, going back to our form of 7-8-1. Now,
yes.
I guess that would fit into what you're doing.
Perfect.
All right. And that probably wouldn't take 8 hours. All right, so let's say somebody calls in what time is it? At 11:30. That's a few more. Let's say somebody called in, 11:30, and they're looking for something that might be 300 square feet, tiny house, because you do the metal ones. What does that process? I mean, in other words, what kind of deposit would they need, and then when can they anticipate? Could they pick up the order, and or could it be delivered to where they are?
Well, they can definitely pick up the order, and it doesn't, you know, I've got five different locations in four different states. So as far as picking it up, that can be done. If you placed an order and it was right there in Orlando and you were coming to pick it up in Orlando, you could come and get that I would probably say within 3 days for sure. 2 days, what I would think, but I think for sure you could come and get it within three. And, you know, I would probably just go ahead and give myself a little cushion and say delivery, you know, would be a week, just because. Now, the other thing is you have to have a blueprint. You know, there has to be, this thing has to be set up. Or you tell me, I need 35 studs that are 8'1". All right. Now, the reason I'm going to suggest something to you is because if you're going to build something that's going to be 8 feet tall, make it 8'1". If you're going to make it 9 feet tall, make it 9'1". Because when you put the sheetrock on the ceiling or whatever you start adding the thickness to, you need that so that you get your material off the floor. So that way, if you spill water on the floor, it's not sucking up in your walls.
Right.
So there's little tricks to it, but if you tell me how big your windows are, you know, say we don't have a blueprint, but you tell me how big your windows are, we can measure the studs. You know, I can put it into the machine on what to make. But if we have a blueprint that is designed to it, now there's a cost. We charge $1.50 a square foot to design a print for it. And that's actually very cheap to do, because normally they charge more than that. But my engineers will do it for $1.50 a foot. If you have the blueprint and you know what you need, you tell me what the material is. We can make that material. I would want it to get ahead of the thing because there is other customers out there that are big orders. They're ordering, you know, 100,000 board feet of material.
Right.
If I was getting in and making small houses, I would probably figure it out and just dedicate two machines to making those small houses so that the other ones can continue to hit the big marks. Because these machines make 120 feet of material a minute.
Right.
So as far as making your tiny house, we're talking 10 minutes of operation and that thing, everything is there and being strapped up and ready to go.
All right. Let me ask you a question related to what we're doing. Now, what's that guy out of Eastern Tennessee? Incredible tiny house guy.
I know Randy's in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's it. Randy Jones. That's him. Okay, Randy Jones has got a video on YouTube where I think last year, last quarter of last year or whatever, it was the third quarter or the fourth quarter of last year, he did a live stream on YouTube, which he does that all the time. But they had 100 orders for tiny houses in 1 hour. Okay. Now, he didn't give any details on the logistics of how he, you know, because 100 calls in 1 hour, that's a lot of people. So how would you let's go through the intake team, order intake team, to process 100 orders in 1 hour. About how big of a team do you think? Because one person can't handle 100 calls in an hour. So how many people? He didn't go in. Randy doesn't go into the logistics of all that stuff. He's more of a salesman, so to speak. But what would if you know if you had that many calls an hour? How many would you? How big of your phone intake team would you have?
I would probably say you're probably going to need. I would say three people. You could sell three of those off to, you know, in an hour. So if he did 100, he'd have to have, you know, he's probably got a call center that's bringing in, that's catching the calls. So they probably had somewhere around 30, so that they all had three, maybe a couple of them had three or four. I did speak to Randy when that happened, and I kind of got a little bit from him.
Mm-hmm.
It took him, when he was 100 houses behind, that was 3 months. That it was going to take to get those orders filled.
Right.
So
some people don't want to wait. You know, it's interesting you said he had a call center. I did a radio program. Matter of fact, one was up in Washington, D.C., and one was right down here in Lakeland, Florida. And I hired a call center when I was doing a radio program, and we got so many calls from a one-hour radio program that they couldn't take all – this is because this was reservation for an event I had. They couldn't. They took as many as they could, and then they kicked me out. I couldn't be their client anymore because I was we were getting that many phone calls. And 1,500 people showed up. Now I had a little staff with me at that point. Now, when I did another, I hired a call center here for a hair salon that I had. I tried that business for a while, but I just wasn't cut out for it. And so I would get clients for the hairdressers, and we did a radio program, and they couldn't handle all the calls that came in. And we're talking about, I think it was like a one-person operation or whatever. The other one, they had more people. But and then, like I said, when we did Jacksonville, we had a de facto phone unit, but to do it right, we're going to have to set up different last time. But we were still getting 10 to 15 calls in an hour. Okay. But when those people call, they're ready to take action. They're also ready to spend money. Because with, like, using the Randy Jones thing, you know, he had 100 calls, or 100, probably 100-plus calls. And I don't know what percentage of people left, you know, paid deposits, but I know I've been following Randy for about 5 years now. And I know this, on the regular, people, he gets, now he's in Eastern Tennessee, as you know. He has people coming in from the West Coast, Oregon, people coming in from Texas, and they will drive to Tennessee, pick up their tiny house, and then drive it back to wherever they came from. But I don't want to get into that aspect of it. I'll basically rather deal with, all right, we got a patch of land already locally. Now, if we do something like Delmar's in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, if we do something in Tennessee or Texas or wherever, okay, I would like to have, or network and have, a boots-on-the-ground contact in that neck of the woods, which mirrors Tough Shed. Because I shared early in this podcast, it was either last summer or two summers ago, Tough Shed, which was Saray, Tom Saray or whatever, he started that company by just building one chair. But anyway, he's large now. They have 10,000 orders in 1 month and delivered on all 10,000 of those. But what they did was that spread out over about 20 states, and he has boots on the ground, independent contractors that fulfill those orders. So we're not at that stage yet, but I'm looking at it right. Everything starts with one, with 781. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at. That's why I asked you to be on the program today, because you got more experience with it. Because I'm looking at, instead of the way things are going now, like when we did the Jacksonville thing, that was like a laser approach to marketing. That was the Jacksonville metro area, all right, which is the closest to our 4 acres, you know, 90 minutes away from where we have our 4 acres. However, if we put something on Facebook Marketplace, do a Facebook Live, or do a live stream on YouTube, then you're going to get people interested from different parts, let's say here in the United States. But I want to concentrate on, here's what I want to eliminate. I want to eliminate the transportation part, the shipping part, because shipping can really add on to the cost of what they're doing. I would ideally like, me and Delwin were talking about this. There's one guy, he's no longer living, but I think his company's still around, Jim Walters. Jim Walters would basically construct a shed, not a shed, a shell, a watertight shell of a house. But here's the qualifier. You have to own the land first. You own the land, and his company did $1 billion doing that. So I like that business model. Then with Randy Jones with Incredibox or Incredible Tiny Homes, what I like about Randy Jones, out of his business model, I don't like the order it now and somebody come pick it up and then they drive it back across the country and, you got to deal with the integrity of the building and all this other stuff. But the part of the business plan I do like is he's set up, to my knowledge, at least 2 tiny house communities where they can just build them right there on site. There's no shipping, and the people live right there. I like that business model.
I do, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox and get your ideas on it.
No, I think that is the way to do it. And when you are buying this material and you're shipping it, this material locks inside of itself. So every 2x4 or 2x6 or 2x8 that you order, you can actually ship 2 of them in the same space as a regular wooden 2x4. So you can ship twice the material on the same truck. And if we were doing, tiny houses and you were ordering all that material, to say doing the 4 acres in Florida, and you could put, I don't know what, 10 units or something and spread them apart, or if you want to do something bigger, but you could ship at least 10 houses on a truck.
Okay.
And so you can get the material up front, and the material costs $15 a square foot. So if it's 100 square feet, it's $1,500. Now, you're not going to have to use a saw to make that frame. And all you're going to do is put the studs where they go, and everything goes together beautifully. And what's convenient about that is once it's standing and something's half the weight of wood but twice as strong, you can work with people that don't have experience and let them get the experience. That's why I work with children, I work with blind people, work with the elderly, work with the homeless, people that they say can't and won't do anything. You'd be surprised what they will do if they get a clue, and gives them something to look forward to. I know that people like these kind of things. Now, if they were doing something and there was a mission behind it, I like your 7-8-1. I mean, it really, 7 people in 8 hours could build 1 house, and it could be ready to move into.
Right.
There's no reason whatsoever that can't happen. And if you look at the models of Randy Jones, he's doing 4 to 5 houses a day with 70 people full time.
Matter of fact, Delmar shared a video with me barely a week ago. Delmar, share that with Chris and the audience, the video you turned me on to, because that's where 7-8-1 came from. Delmar was really the inspiration for all that.
Yeah, Chris, the video is entitled
Barnuminium.
I'm still overcome my stroke speed thing. And it was six men in 8 hours. But remember, like you say, everything was pre-assembled. They wasn't scrapped. There was no sawing, no nail. Everything was pre-cut, and they would use the guns for all that. So they had, as you were saying, they had minimized the amount of skills necessary. But everything was always measured. All they did was assemble the whole thing. Everything was assembled. You can see when you watch the video, they were assembling stuff. They wasn't cutting and measuring and doing none of that. And I believe, my opinion, that they had already done that And so what we saw being filmed, those guys, that was just, they already done a dress rehearsal, in my opinion. But I believe it's a simple, but as you say, Chris, you know, if you got to step down and the person can follow instruction, it can be done because it's designed to be simple. They don't have to say, what do we do? Nobody's trying to figure out what to do next. Next is already playing every step up from time to finish. That's what this video showed.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yes, sir. That was one of the biggest things in the building method that I wanted to show, that our kids has never built anything in their life. They might not have even seen anything built in their life. Could actually come out and build it. And once it's built, they can be proud of it.
Yeah.
And it just be the beginning, you know. I got blessed. I told you guys last year about the 18 acres that was here in Normal, Illinois, that used to be Illinois State University's housing for families. They closed it down like 20 years ago, and it's just been sitting there. And I'm in there remodeling the 100 units right now, and I get to start a youth program to build a veterans community, an elderly community, and more affordable housing, and a convenience store. So I'm looking forward to this next year and what the kids in this community get to do. I am not doing this as a homeless situation at all. It's more as an afternoon program. But at the same time, we're going to be utilizing college students as a big brother, big sister kind of mentor situation to these kids. So it's going to be a double indemnity, taking them from first grade all the way through college and learning from, you know, when we get our first graders learning from our college students, this is a good thing. And right now, you know, the college students seem to really be enthused about it. And the people, what's really cool is knowing that these people that are investors actually want to do something in the community support, you know, with the social equity of the community. And they jumped right on me and told me, bring the camera crews out and start filming. And, you know, I've taken some pictures and stuff, but we haven't started up the filming yet, but I'm ready to. And as far as having these communities and they building them, we're starting that example in Las Vegas, and we're taking houses there. We've got a guy that's already wanting to do a veterans community. But I have a venue on Las Vegas Boulevard, and we're going to be showing people what they can do. They can place orders, and we'll ship homes to wherever they are in the world. But at the same time, they can support other programs like yours, 781. And because how many people from Florida is going to be in Vegas? You know, it's liable to see what we're doing. How many in Texas? You know, how many were in Washington? And it's more seeing all of these solutions and not just being a building method, but, you know, having the energy, having food, having water creation. Water creation, you know, you're always talking about earth wealth, you know, and we know that there's water basically under every piece of land out there, and that's earth wealth. But not all of it's in good shape either.
True.
So we came up with solutions to be able to create water. And for $1,500, I can buy a piece of equipment for one of my partners that will produce 100 gallons of drinking water a day.
Okay.
And that's a positive to be able to go into any situation and you be able to survive by having fresh water and not necessarily catching it from falling out of the sky, but taking it right out of the sky and creating it into liquid.
Right. Well, like I say, the Randy Jones business model of setting our own community, even if it's a family that's on an acre, 2 acres, a homestead. Because homesteads, family compounds, I figure that might be the bulk of what, we, you know, the market that we might hit, where you don't have to do any long-distance shipping. But we will need boots on the ground. Like, for instance, let's take up in the Chicago area. So we got boots on the ground people there, you know, once the location is, you know. Now, so Delma already mentioned this before. Some people are, if they have land, then we don't have to worry about placement. Because the thing I don't want to run into is somebody orders something, but actually, in my opinion, the very first step to all this is where can you place what you build or transport there legally? Because some people have bought tiny houses, but then they found out, oh, wait a minute, legally I can't have this here. So I think that's the very first step. That's why with Jim Walters, you had to own land, your own land first. So I think that's an option, or a place where you can legally build it or transport it there. That's two. Then I guess for us, narrowcast our marketing to areas where we have that 781, where we have at least one person that's boots on the ground. Because if we get one, we can get the other six.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, I was just sitting here. I was going to mention, why don't we do the 781 in Chicago? Because when I went there in October, I was asked by the mayor's office to bring them a solution to their immigration and their homeless problem. And right now, it's cold, and there's way over 100,000 people that are sleeping outside, and over half of them are children. And this 781 is a perfect example. We have the people. There's 100,000 people right now. We just need to put screw guns in their hands. And when you talked about having boots on the ground in Chicago, the three people that built the house that I built, they...
Oh, but Chris, tell us if you got that video still on. I saw that video a few times. How can people watch that video, Chris?
It's on Horse Creek Haven on YouTube. And the label underneath it is first house built on LaSalle Street in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, I saw that video about, I reviewed it at least five times. He's in downtown Chicago. And you look at the video, it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Well, now, Chris, as you know, we got boots on the ground people. And then Delmar, who's lived in Chicago, knows who. So we got the boots on the ground people up in that neck of the woods.
Well, what I was going to say is those three people came from the gentleman that I met in the Mach 1 project. That's the kids' youth program.
Uh-huh.
Those three people came from Cornelius Ward. Or Cornelius Brent. I'm sorry, Cornelius Brent. That's his name.
Okay.
And he found me these three guys, and one of them was his partner, the electrician. So it is about who knows who in your community. You only need one to find what you need. And I had Cornelius. And when we did it, you'll see the three guys' names, but you'll also see Cornelius Brent's name. I didn't have him on film, so I didn't use his picture. But we tried to give the people that built that the recognition for doing so.
Right.
But these are people that we have connected there right now. And I could set up something. I've got a meeting today with the Homeless Coalition in Chicago. And I have a meeting at 2 o'clock with the Comptroller of Chicago. So there is about seven cities right now that have seen that video,
yeah,
and they're interested in kicking this thing out in that direction, because nothing else is truly coming together. But your 781 gives them a little structure to show how many people we need to make this happen. And my thing was when I walked out of the mayor's office, I was in my suit, but those guys had never set trusses before, so I climbed up on the trailer and helped them set the trusses, And by doing that, I was trying to inspire everybody to come out of the skyscrapers around and come down on the ground at lunchtime and change what's going on this street, so when you get off work, it won't be looking the same as it did when you went to work.
Right.
Because you can be the change you want to see. And just because
right.
I had a suit on didn't mean I couldn't put a screw in.
All right, well, yeah, like I said, I saw the video. I was impressed with, like I said, taking down downtown Chicago, they'll be a building. Well, now, Del Mar, based on Rebecca 2-2, just off, thinking out loud, because if we have a simple and concise vision statement, any thoughts on how you would word that?
What I like about the concept, and thank you, Chris, because the idea in the Habakkuk, of course, was not an actual structure or building. It has to do with something that God's about to happen. But as I told you before, I believe when we apply that, we ought to have the blueprint that Chris is talking about in the vision, not just an actual picture of building, but the vision should include the blueprint, as Chris is saying, that once the people have the basic skills and the tools, and it can be done anywhere. That's how simple it'd be. As I like what Chris already modeled this, just like you say, you can do it in a suit and tie if you have to. And that's what's important. People got to see the simplicity of it, to use a phrase, from a fifth grader to a PhD could do it because it's simple.
All right, well, that makes sense. And that way you know what you're dealing with as far as parts, pieces, cost, and all that, you know, the whole nine yards. And that can be reduced down to like a page. Now, wait a minute. Who?
And, you know,
go ahead.
With this AI thing going right now, everything is getting done faster because we have the technology where this stuff is thinking for you, so to speak. Chris probably knows. You describe something, and this thing can draw it. It can word it out within a matter of minutes, and you can edit what it said in there down to the specific that you want. But it doesn't take you 6 months to think of how to say it no more. This
right.
thing is, because it comes from man's brain, ain't from some mysterious thing. But you can do almost anything now faster because we have learned how to specify things that Chris talked about with the pre-measured, pre-cut, pre-everything. All we have to do is, like I said, once you show that kid or whoever how to use the tools, it's done. That's how simple it is. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's organize that, get it down this weekend, within the next 24 hours, I'll put it that way.
I think we should follow with Christian with the option, Chicago option. We need to talk to not just on this conference call, but we need to talk to him more about that detail and people he know what the option is out there. We need to look at that.
Okay, well, Chris, are you available later today? And if so, what time? Oh, that's on your schedule.
Yeah, I'm available up till 2 o'clock my time, Central Time. After 2, I've got the meeting with Comptroller, and then I have a meeting with some people in Maui. They actually just reached back out to me, a new group, and they're the ones that owned all the land that we were working with before.
Right.
But they came at me yesterday, and evidently the people that had made the gestures on what was brought and bought through other companies, they were charging, you know, twice what we were offering in the beginning. But they were offering them already built and not having to make the people do it. And that was one of the biggest things, that the funding that they had was about creating the sustainable life for the people as they built their homes, create the jobs for the people. And those are the only things I have to do today is so up to 2 o'clock I am available, and I would say after six o'clock I'm available.
All right, well, after six will work for me, which will be 5 Delmar time.
Okay.
Well, you and Delmar in the same time zone.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's say 6:30 your time is good, for both of you?
Yep.
I'm fine.
So what about you, Delmar?
Yeah, great. That works.
Okay. And Willie, so let's do a conference call then at 6:30 your time, Central Standard Time today.
Okay.
And we'll pick up from where we're at right now.
We do have an accredited college now called Faith University, and it's run through the dual accreditation program is how they wound up getting their accreditation. But we do traveling sports, but it's an online college, and you can actually – we're getting it set up to where – we have these trade projects going on, and people can virtually be involved in them so that we can get them physically involved in them.
Okay.
There'll be an option out there for our young adults and old adults and everybody, but we're working with K through 12, and then we're working with a college on top of it. So we have both courses, and the K-12 is an online course as well. So there is things out there. People want to do some homeschooling. There is some great education purposes that's not through our public schools. So these are just options, and I look forward to our call later, guys.
Okay. Talk to you guys later. Okay. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
Okay.